Today's program was brought to you by Roth, Wisconsin, makers of the world's best cheese and pioneers in the U.S. artisan cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
I'm Tim Gunn, author, educator, and Project Runway mentor, and you're listening to Heritage Radio.
Welcome to Magnifico Radio, bringing you the latest in ethical fashion, clean beauty, and sustainable living. I'm your host, Kate Black, and this is Episode 9. Today's guest, Marie-Véronique Nadeau, is a chemist who founded her namesake skincare in 2002. She labels herself an inventor and started as most great beauty brands do by experimenting in her kitchen to create something clean and effective for her rosacea. She's normally on the West Coast at her Berkeley Spa, but I've lured her to New York with the promise of Roberta's Pizza and our Eco Sessions event tomorrow night on Clean Beauty. Welcome, Marie.
Hi. Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here, and thank you for having me.
So nice to see you. So we had Rachel Winard from Soboala on a few weeks ago, and she's also joining the Clean Beauty panel tomorrow night. And she said one of her formulations took over 2,000 iterations to get just right. So in the 14 years, you must have similar stories.
Oh, I'll say I do. And in fact, we're in the middle of one right now. And you start out with an idea. It's a fascinating thing about formulation. It never happens the way you expect it will. Some things you think are going to be so easy right out of the gate, and they're the ones that end up taking forever, 2,000 iterations plus. We're working right now actually on a project that's been dear to my heart for quite a few years, because it's something everything asks for. First of all, I got my start by doing a zinc oxide only sunscreen. And I think I was the first to come up with a zinc oxide only SPF 30 sunscreen that people like.
Not only they liked, but it's won like the EWG Skincare Award. Like it was the first of its kind. And was that partly because it was so effective, but also because you put some tint in there so that women could actually wear a full zinc sunscreen without, and it would look like foundation.
Yeah, because this is part of the challenge that you have to remember as a formulator. Your formulation is only going to be as good as people's willingness to wear it. And so, yeah, you can come up with something that's great, but if it's thick and white and pasty, forget it. It's not going to happen. So I was able to miraculously almost come up with the right combination to achieve an SPF 30 with a sunscreen that people liked wearing, because they even wear it at night. You know, I'll say, I wear it as a foundation. It's very nice. It's good for your skin. Zinc oxide is anti-inflammatory, so 20% zinc oxide means that it's very good for people who are acne prone, tend to breakouts, rosacea, fantastic for rosacea. And that's actually the first thing I made was in response to the rosacea, was the sunscreen. People with rosacea need sunscreen, but everything that was out there made me break out or turn redder. And it was just an impossible situation. So figured that out. But where we are now is next iteration of sunscreen is going to be for men and people of color and people who want a transparent sunscreen. Yeah, I know, your jaw actually dropped. Yeah, so this has been a labor of love, still working on it. We hope that it was supposed to come out last summer. We're hoping it will come out next summer. I did manage to develop one that everybody is pretty much nuts about. It disappears. You put it on, it disappears on the skin. It's using plant ingredients in addition to zinc oxide, so it just... anybody can wear this. It was tested, and we got an SPF 20 on it. You're not going to get more than that, I don't think.
And some of the research says that you really don't need more than that. You actually need to reduce the amount of time that you spend in the sun. You need to do other things besides add more SPF.
Well, that's my argument, too, is that actually when we turn red, when we start burning, that's actually nature's alarm clock or the alarm signal. And it's telling you, hey, time to get out of the sun. That's not the time really to slather on more sunscreen. It's the time to get out of the sun, because most of the damage that is being done is being done by the UVA rays, which are the longer wavelengths of light that actually are causing damage that could show up 10 or 20 years later.
And it's really fascinating, because I was doing a little bit of research before we came on the air, because I wanted to kind of have a conversation with you about the FDA.
Oh, yeah.
And the FDA and other guests have mentioned this before, the FDA really hasn't done any movement in the 110 years since it's been enacted, except lately. And they're kind of starting to focus on skincare and sunscreen, or mostly sunscreen. So why is everybody kind of getting activated about sunscreen?
Well, there's been, for one thing, there's been pressure on the cosmetics industry in the United States to be at least as innovative as they are in Europe. So in Europe, they do allow more sunscreen agents than we currently do with the FDA. But it's a tricky thing. We really are very much involved with the FDA because we make sunscreen. And some of the rules seem antiquated. They need to be updated. As we learn more and more about, the risks of longer wavelength exposure, that ups the game. So and the FDA has to pay some attention to this. But the FDA has its own problems. For one thing, there's only about 2 people who oversee cosmetic preparation anyway in the whole country. So there's only so much they can do. So they work on what comes across their transom in terms of, well, okay, is this an issue that affects public health? And certainly when you're talking about sunscreen, yes, it does. And claims really do need to be verified. And, I'm completely with the FDA in terms of, yes, it is crucial that, there are a lot of companies out there that will claim an SPF that it may not actually have. And this happens a lot. And the FDA is only going to respond if there are complaints made. But mostly people don't, because they don't understand the issues. They don't really understand what's going on. I think if anything, we need more testing rather than less.
Across the board, conventional, non-toxic, everything.
Yeah. And the other thing where it gets really tricky is that here's where it gets really tricky. There is so-called organic sunscreen, which is actually the chemical compounds, right? Organic in that sense, it means it's got carbon in the molecule, right? So those are the ones that work by absorbing UV light, releasing it as heat and generating free radicals in the process. And that's why with a chemical sunscreen or an organic sunscreen, you need to reapply it every 2 hours. Little known secret. You think it's because, you rub it off, you wash it off. No, it's actually because the sunscreen compounds themselves have actually broken down.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so they're starting to generate more free radicals, so you need to apply more sunscreen to gain protection equivalent to almost what you would have if you wore nothing at all.
I love it because you've always been really frank. Like, you've been very frank in your formulations. You've been really frank about what you're trying to achieve with this brand and with this business. And you're going to be one of the first to make this sunscreen for people of color. Mm-hmm. So I love, like, what's motivating you to be so transparent and to be so inclusive in your mission?
Oh, okay. Because I see people every day. And they
in
all,
your spa?
In my shop. Or, you know, they email me or whatever. And, you know, the question is pretty much across the board. I know I should wear sunscreen every day. I know. You've told me. But, you know, really, I can't stand the way it feels on my face. I can't stand to have something show. And if you're a guy, it's a no-brainer. You're not going to wear sunscreen that's got a tint in it that looks like makeup. If you're a little kid, you're not going to sit still long enough to have somebody slather, you know, something that looks like makeup all over them. You got to have another solution. And so that's my mission, I guess. It's my way of saving the world.
I love this. And I called you one time a couple of years ago because I had a friend who was having a really bad outbreak. Mm-hmm. She had tried a clean product that had reacted negatively to her skin. Mm-hmm. She was covered in cysts or mm-hmm. some sort of deep acne. And you said the very first thing you can do, you haven't seen her, but the very first thing she could do is put yogurt onto her face. And so, you know, and I just, from the words of babes, I just called her and I was like, okay, Marie says put yogurt on your face. So can you talk about the role? Because now probiotics play mm-hmm. a big role mm-hmm. in your line. Can you talk about how you discovered it and like how this is playing a role in now the line?
And now the line. Yeah, that's probably another big innovative leap after, you know, developing a sunscreen that people would actually wear. And it has to do with the latest research coming out about the skin microbiome. This is all very new and very exciting research. And I'm writing a number of blog posts about we are used to thinking of the skin as being the dermis, the epidermis, the stratum corneum, but guess what? You know, there is that fourth layer of skin, which is your skin microbiome, which is about a trillion microorganisms of about 1,000 different species on your skin. So we know a little bit about the gut microbiome. We've studied that for maybe 10 years now. Now we are starting to take that knowledge and that appreciation of the microbiota and how they are working to keep our skin healthy. We're carrying that to the notion of, well, what do we need to encourage the right microbiota to thrive on your skin so they can keep your skin healthy?
I agree, and I thought of you too when the FDA, because they did actually make another change because they banned triclosan, and so
yes.
all of those antimicrobial
yes.
soaps
yes.
are going to have
yes.
to come. And immediately I thought of you because I thought, oh my gosh, so many people are going to have skin uh-huh. repair
yeah.
if they just stop using this antimicrobial. Can you mm-hmm. explain for people who don't know you like I know you and haven't had these conversations? So what happens when you use an antimicrobial on your skin?
Okay, think about the gut. And taking a course of antibiotics. I think we've all heard the spiel about what happens when you take too many antibiotics. It kills everything in the landscape. And then it takes quite a while for the microflora to reestablish itself. And in the meantime, because there is just something about certain pathogens like Staphylococcus aureus and some of the others, very hardy. And so they tend to come back with a vengeance before the good microflora have a chance to reestablish themselves and establish a balance. Because really, part of their job is to keep in check the pathogens. So same deal with the skin. Triclosan kills everything. Except the one pathogen that does the most damage, namely Staphylococcus aureus. For some reason, triclosan will kill all the others and leave the Staphylococcus aureus free to propagate, and which it does happily.
And yeah. So do you believe that the rise in eczema and psoriasis, and
yes.
do you believe that that's all attributed to the microbiome and our skin flora health?
That's a big part of it. But it's more complicated than that because there is something called barrier function that happens with the skin. And with eczema, what they've discovered, or other types of atopic dermatitis, barrier function is compromised for a number of different reasons that could have to do with you know, the fact that the microbial balance isn't what it should be, but there's also some people who are simply, they have a genetic deficiency, they don't produce filaggrin, which produces natural moisture. I'm getting kind of technical here, but it's there are a number of factors that enter into it, and so that's actually another area where we're doing a lot of research and coming up with some new products that address barrier malfunction.
Okay,
because that's huge.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and keep talking science and skin with Marie Veronique.
And this one's called Let's Not by Shadowbox. We'll be right back. Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sauchois is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sauchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sauchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolette and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the Raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Magnifico Radio, and I'm your host, Kate Black, and I'm sitting here with Marie Nadeau, the founder and formulator for Marie Veronique, the clean beauty skincare line. So you clearly have a background in science. You were a chemistry teacher at one point in your life, and then I like to call her your secret weapon. You also have a partner in your family who can help you with some of these formulations. Your daughter has a PhD. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk about what it's like to be working with your daughter?
Rather intimidating, actually. And, you know, I'm proud that she's my daughter, and she's such a genius. But she often, when she is on a roll, I think she forgets I'm her mother and she needs to be kind. But
well, that might be mothers and daughters everywhere.
Yeah.
That could be a whole other radio show, to be honest.
So working with her is, especially now, because we are, okay. You know, with the advent of the microbiome and the research that attends to that, we're looking at breaking new territory every time you turn around. And this is where, you know, having her help is so amazing, because she knows microbiology. You know, she got her PhD in physics, but she is one of those people that does the cross-discipline thing, which is where science is at these days. And it's a lot of it is about the microbiomes and the microbiology. And so where it is, I think the next big challenge for formulators, for skincare company in general, across the board, is preservation. How do we preserve our products? In the past, it has been taking the microcidal approach, that is, you kill everything in the landscape, but then what you end up with is a product that really isn't going to be all that effective, because everything that's alive and active about it has been removed, pretty much. So the goal for a new kind of innovation with respect to preservation is going to be microstatic. And so this means that instead of killing off all the microbes on the landscape, you selectively keep in check the pathogens. And there are a number of of techniques whereby you can do this, but you also enlist the aid of the microbiota whose duty it is, whose job it is to keep the pathogens in check. So you're working with the microflora itself. So they produce something called AMPs, antimicrobial peptides. And so, you know, this was actually how streptomycin came about. There was Streptococcus thermophilus was a cousin of Streptococcus pyogenes, which is the flesh-eating one. It's the really bad one. So you can create something where the close relatives of the pathogen that is problematic can help you keep you use one form of strep to keep the other form in check.
So this all sounds very soothing and caring. Like so, but
yes, it is. Like so, it's an ecosystem. It's an echo approach.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
But you do also do like anti-aging. Like, are you also doing like age prevention? So we're soothing all these issues around skin.
Yes.
But are you? What else are you doing? Where's the science going to help me stay young and fresh?
Oh, yes, science will do that. You know, and it's interesting that you know, you had an ad for cheese, and you don't have cheese without microbes. And Streptococcus thermophilus, yet again, our little hero, they've done studies to show that it will actually help delay aging. So, again, yogurt. Oop.
Topically or internally or both?
Both. Topically. But, yeah, go to the supermarket and look for they'll have a list of the live strains of bacteria in your yogurt. Look for Streptococcus thermophilus. I think you'll be hearing more about that.
So this explains why French women not only look beautiful, but
their
skin is...
Yeah, they're putting cheese on their faces.
And so you actually took the time, and I'm not sure if it was your first, but you've just come out with a book. Was it your first?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Actually, I brought both of them. My first book was The Yoga Facelift, which is all about how to exercise your face. Talk about staying young. Rather than using Botox, makes much more sense to actually exercise those muscles to keep them toned, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's true of the face, the facial muscles. There's 109 in the face and the neck. And yeah.
So you can keep them from dropping just by using them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got little exercises in that book to show you how to do that. And that's actually making a comeback, because I think Botox users are kind of hitting a wall. There's only so many times you can do that without it just kind of backfiring in a way.
Well, and there's a whole more kind of adoption of healthier mm-hmm. ways to take care of ourselves and trying to prevent mm-hmm. it at source. And so if you mm-hmm. can, if we do yoga in the studio, why not do it in the bathroom with our face? And then, so talk about the acne answer.
Okay. So the acne answer is, again, introducing the concept of the microbiome and how it can help give us answers, real answers towards addressing acne issues. And one of the reasons I wrote it is because it's a very interesting thing about acne. 75 years ago, people didn't really, they didn't really have acne. Now suddenly everybody has acne. Now suddenly everybody has perioral dermatitis or some kind of atopic dermatitis. What's going on? Partly what's going on is that we are it's called microbial disruption or microbial dysbiosis. And again, think of the skin as an ecosystem with the microbiome. All of these different microorganisms are there to keep your skin healthy. But we're, I think, persistent use of antimicrobials. They work for a minute, but then they stop working. And then it's very difficult to get back to that state of health. So the acne answer is about some things you can do looking at taking care of your skin in a new kind of way. And there's a chapter on rosacea. There's a chapter on men's skin.
There's a play for children.
Oh,
or
yes.
Teenagers. I was horrified and mortified, but then I just started to read it because it's definitely a creative take, because each kind of acne is a character in this play. Mm-hmm. But as I started to read it, I was like, okay, now I understand it. And in a way that if you were probably trying to deal with it, it helps to know which acne you have, or what is it that you're trying to fix, as opposed to kind of this blanket, you know, a zit is not a zit in your life.
No, and a microbe is not a microbe. And I think the task there was to anthropomorphize the microbes so that we could understand them. And I think that, and they become, you know, something that you remember. It sticks in your mind. And also they become not threatening at all. We've gone way past the whole idea of the germ theory of disease. That was very 20th century. The 21st century is going to be all about balancing the microbiome so that we can enlist the aid of our best friends in the prevention of disease, which is the microbiome. Yeah. The microbiota that we're carrying around with us. We've got five different microbiomes, by the way. But, yeah.
I don't know which one is plaguing me, but I wrote about this when I did the last review, because you switched to an oil cleanser, which I want to talk about in a second. But you broke me from being, I was a soap and water, whatever face lotion was around. I used body lotion. I didn't have a problem until I got to be my 30s. Yeah. And then every month, hormonal time, I would have one breakout. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't go away. And so it wasn't until I met you and started to use your products that didn't happen. And sometimes I don't use your products. I go off and try other things to do reviews. And then it just comes back automatically. Uh-huh. Once a month, I'll get this really prominent outbreak.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to me how you... because you don't know my skin, but how this system that you've created just kind of seems to work for all different kinds of skins.
Well, the idea is, you know, you have a certain philosophy about it, and I suppose, bottom line, my philosophy is that you figure out how skin works, what, and that's already, you know, a mouthful, but we find that there are deficiencies in its functioning that follow certain patterns, and these deficiencies can be corrected usually with B vitamins. In the case of acne, vitamin B5 works very, very well for many, many cases of acne, and because there's a hormonal connection. For inflammation, niacinamide or vitamin B3 works extremely well. And for everybody, vitamin A derivatives, the retinol and the retinoids, work very, very well because they work at a profound level to actually regulate sebum production, among many other things. So, you know, you just... the idea is to provide the skin with the building blocks it needs, with the material it needs, so that it can do its own repair.
Amazing. Your skin is so stunning. Every time I see you, I'm like, I need sunglasses. So let's talk about the growth of the business. So you started and launched in California. Mm-hmm. You have a store and a spa?
No.
You take appointments?
We had a facialist, and she moved to L.A., so we are working on building that whole part of it again. But what I want to do, really, and this is another project that, you know, it's in the future, but because of what we know now about the skin microbiome and what we earnestly desire to know more about is, you know, how we can manipulate the microbiota on the skin in the microbiome, so that it's kind of like the idea that with the gut, you know, you've got the healthy gut, and you know, let flora live in the healthy gut. I'd like to do the same thing with the skin. You know, here's a healthy skin. Here's what its microflora look like. here's somebody with acne. Well, how do the microbes colonize differently on the skin that is having inflammation problems? You know, it's...
So are you going to start a school? Are you going to create a team of facialists?
Well, yeah, actually, with a team of microbiologists is kind of a dream. Yeah.
And so if you're not in California, where else can people find your product?
Oh, let's see. Well, we're online, of course.
Which is MarieVeronique.com.
MarieVeronique.com, uh-huh. And, you know, we have wholesalers. We have some in Europe. We've got somebody in Canada, Lilu Organics in Canada. Mostly online, though, you know, and if somebody is interested, I like to think that I'm very accessible, too. Just call me up.
Call her up or visit her blog because she writes a lot and gives a lot of actually detail about how to solve these problems by blog. And if you're in New York, you're invited to come to our event tomorrow night, as long as you're of age, because it's in a venue that you need to be 21 or older. But on Tuesday, November 15th, here in New York, you can come and meet Marie, you can meet Rachel from Sobwala, you can meet Amy from the New York Institute of Aromatherapy, and then the other Amy Ziff from Made Safe. You can find tickets on Eventbrite. Just search for Clean Beauty NYC. Thank you so much, Marie. It's such a pleasure. I love listening to you. I could listen to you all day.
Oh, thank you.
Do you sell both of the books online?
Oh, yeah. Just go to Amazon.com and look for The Acne Answer or The Yoga Facelift. They're there.
Fantastic. And you can visit her site, you can visit her blog, and as she says, you can find her if you have crisis. I'd like to thank Roberta's Home of Heritage Radio Network, where you can find me each Monday live at 1 o'clock, and you can always listen to Magnifico Radio on iTunes or Stitcher. Check out our blog or sign up for our newsletter at magnifico.com. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.